Say fruit. There's an evidence of someone who walks with Jesus. There's an evidence of someone who knows God. Not just a Christian t-shirt that says 100% Jesus. Not just a bumper sticker on your car. But actually, you've been with Jesus. There's a fruit. Say fruit. When you know Jesus, there's a fruit in your life. People can tell by your conversation. People can tell by your words. People can tell by your life. They watch you and they say, this person is different. There's fruit. Let's read the word.
You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.
Without me you can do? Jesus said, you must remain in me. Say, remain. You must remain in the Lord and abide in him, and his word abides in you, and then you'll bear some fruit. You'll bear a little bit of fruit, barely making it. You'll bear much fruit. There will be a fruit in your life. When you are saved, my friend, there has to be some fruit. There has to be some change. If there's no change, I'm not saying you become an angel. I'm not saying you become perfect. But when you say, Jesus, come into my heart, and you profess your faith in him, the Bible says that you become a new creation. Therefore, there must be some evidence on your heart and some change in your spirit. Otherwise, nothing happened. You know, we tell the people who are being baptized, we're going to have baptism, Lord willing, very soon. When you're baptized, you die to the world and you rise to Christ. And if all you do is just, you know, be dunked on water, I mean, and nothing change on the inside, then you're just being dunked on water. There's got to be some change on the inside. There's got to be some fruit. When I mention Christianity in action, it means that there has to be some change in your life, in your heart. You know, in James, it says, when I read that scripture, do you believe in God? Even the demons believe and tremble. You know, demons believe in God. But are they living holy? I believe in God. Believing in God is awesome. But your belief in God should produce a change in your heart. If it doesn't, there's something wrong. You know, when you're really saved and you know Jesus Christ in your heart, there's got to be a change. Say, there's got to be a change. Oh, one person said it. Say, there's got to be a change. If there's no change, nothing happened. It's impossible to know Jesus for real and remain the same. How many remember the book Zacchaeus in the Bible? The tax collector. He met the Lord, and the Bible says he repented. And he was, you know, tax collector. I mean, even, you know, to this day, you know, we got some mixed with taxes and things of that nature. Tax collectors in those days, they were not honest people. He stole from so many people. And the Bible says that he repented and said, I'm going to give four times more than what I have stolen from people. Immediately there was a change in Zacchaeus' heart. And one of the things that happens when Christianity in action is there's got to be a change of heart. The Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it will flow the issues of life. Everything in your life flows from here. You wonder why some people struggle to come to church. It's a heart problem. It's not, you know, the church doesn't have a smoke machine or whatever. I mean, or the lighting. I mean, some people focus on that. You know, the smoke machines and, you know, the lighting and all the, I mean, it's good to have all that if possible. But the essence is the heart. My friend, the essence of Christianity is not the outside things. It's not the car you drive. It's not the building you are in. All those things are cool. But the essence of Christianity is the heart that has been transformed by the Word of God. If your heart is transformed by the Word of God, you're not going to be the same. Jesus will come into your heart and he'll transform it. Say, transform. That's why Paul said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation. That's what God is after. He's not after, you know, fluffy things, fancy things. He's after transformation of hearts. We don't want just to have a church filled with people, though that is good, and we want church filled with people, but we want church filled with people of hearts that have been transformed by the Word of God. Where your family will be different, where your children will know the impact that you have, your children will respect and love you, and they'll see Christ in you. They'll see that you speak something on Sunday, and then you're the same at home. Come on, somebody. That you're the same everywhere you go, that you're not putting a facade, they're not putting a show on, that you are the same person everywhere you go. God is after transformation. And he said, remain in me, and I will remain in you. Abide in me. Why did he say remain? Is it possible not to remain? Yes or no? What if on Sunday morning you decide, you know what, I'm just going to be under my blanket. It's a little chilly outside. Not today, but it was a little chilly outside. I don't feel like coming to church. And then you don't come the next Sunday. That's how it is. And you don't come the next Sunday. And you don't gather together. And then the devil tells you, oh, you can worship God at home. You just do it. You can read the Bible at home. You just do it. And then you never do. And then all these people that say, I can worship God at home, they never do it. I can pray at home. My friend, if you don't pray at church, if you have a hard time praying at church when everybody's praying, then I don't trust that you're praying at home. It's a lie from the devil. And the devil wants to cause you to not abide, not to be connected. Say connected. When you're plugged in, you receive from the source. That plug, can you go there and unplug that thing? A volunteer, go. The first one. I think it's the first one. I believe. Okay. Look at this. Stay there for a second. Look at what just happened. This light was dependent upon being connected. The moment that plug got disconnected, what happened? The light went off. This is what Jesus is telling us to do. And I'm going to turn the light on in a little bit because the broadcast. But anyway. Come on. Yeah. Turn on. Yeah. Yeah. Right? What happened? Connected. The light came back on. When you are connected to God, your light will be on. When you're disconnected, you'll be in the dark. The problem with some people, oh, pastor, I'm so weak spiritually. I'm so down. I'm so sad. I'm so depressed. You know what the problem is? You're disconnected. Because the Bible says, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. When you're connected, there will be light. The reason why there's no light is because there's a disconnect. Say disconnect. And Jesus said, if you're not connected to me, if you're not abiding in me, you can do nothing. One of the major problems of this generation is a sense of independence. You know, I don't want to depend on anybody. I mean, it's okay. I mean, humanly speaking. However, let me tell you something. You always depend on God. Because the very breath that you have today, how many have breath on your lungs? If you don't, we'll pray for you. Resurrection. But the very breath that you have is given by God. Every heartbeat. Your job even. Oh, Pastor, you know, I work hard. I mean, good for you. But who gave you the job? Oh, Pastor, I'm strong. Who gave you the strength? Oh, Pastor, I'm smart. Who gave you the brain? Oh, I did this. I mean, okay, great. Who opened the door for you? Everything you have is given to you by God. Everything, even the breath you have. The Bible says he's the author of life and he gives breath to every single person. To the good and to the bad. Some people are alive today, and humanly speaking, like, these people don't even deserve to be alive. But I mean, they are alive because God is keeping them alive. The moment they disconnect, the light goes off. Let me tell you something. One of the secrets to Christianity, the secret to Christianity is being connected to Jesus. The moment you lose the connection, the power goes out. The light goes off, and you have no light to shine anymore. That's what he said, remain in me. The reason why he said remain in me is because there's a possibility that you cannot remain in him. Otherwise, he would not say that. Abide in me. Say abide. Live in me, in my presence. And one of the ways that you do that is the church is God's embassy on the earth. So many people have no understanding of how important a church is. They think it's just like, oh, it's just something that we go on Sunday. No. You receive the word of God, the anointing, the presence of God, the power of God. You receive instruction, nourishment. Jesus said, men shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When I'm preaching here under the anointing of the Spirit, God is speaking to you. God is feeding you. Say, feeding me. I need to eat in my physical body to be sustained. My spirit needs the word. If you go without eating, how many have fasted here for some seasons? Raise your hand. How many have felt like on the second or third day, you're like, man, my stomach's just like desiring some picanha right now because I'm so hungry. How many have felt that? You're like craving for food. Your body was craving for food. Let me tell you something. Some of you, your spirit is starving. Say, give me more. I want more of his presence, more of his word, more of his instruction, more of his power, more of his anointing, more of his love. I need more. Your spirit's starving and you're not being fed. You're going to be losing that connection. No, when we hear scandals of preachers that fell, that was not overnight. Oh, you know, so-and-so fell into adultery. I mean, it was not overnight. It was a process of work in the heart of an individual that was little by little contaminating, polluting that individual until to the point of falling. And then everyone sees in the television or in the news, you know, so-and-so has done this and done that. But actually, as a matter of fact, no one has seen that was way before the devil was sowing seeds in that person's heart. Come on, somebody. By the same token, everything begins as a seed of the word of God. The more you come to church, you hear his word, you receive prayer, you receive his power, the more that seed will grow and produce life, because the word of God produces life in you. And every day you're feeding yourself, and every day you're putting yourself in more, 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 until you produce fruit. Jesus said, go to Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Producing fruit. We're after fruit. It's not enough having a show. It's not enough having a big building with people. It's not enough having a smoke machine. Amen? Come on, somebody. Or beautiful, everything. Luke 6:45.
A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks.
Now, the Bible talks about treasure, and other versions talk about storage. The Bible says, out of the storage of one man, so out of the treasure of his heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That means that I have a storage room in my heart. Say storage. How many have a storage at home? They put so much garbage in that you don't even like, man, I can't even come into here. How many have a room like that at home? No? No, we don't have. My wife's like, no, we don't. No. I better not. I'll be in trouble. We'll be in trouble. But what I'm saying is, the more garbage you accumulate, the worse it is for you to fix it. The Bible talks about a storage in the heart. And in that heart, we can accumulate good things or evil things. We can accumulate unbelief. We can accumulate anger. We can accumulate unforgiveness. we can accumulate depression, sadness, grief, and have that stored into us. And when that happens, it will be released outside because your mouth will release what is inside. I always tell people, do you want to know somebody, have them talk your ears off and you get to know them. Because you will not be able to hold it. You'll be speaking what is on your heart. Amen? So the storage of the heart is something that is a compound of things you accumulate. But I don't know about you, but I want to accumulate what is good. I want to accumulate what is wonderful. I want to accumulate the word of God so that when I speak, there'll be something that will release blessing on people's lives. I want to be somebody that people will enjoy being around me. They'll not be like, oh, I don't want to be around that guy because it's some bad energy or whatever. I want to be somebody that people are like, oh, Hermes is coming here. We're excited that he's coming. When he comes, it brings joy. When he comes, it brings blessing. When he comes, am I telling the truth? How many have some family members that, you know, Thanksgiving is approaching and then Christmas is approaching and you're like, man, have that gathering now. I have to see that person. I mean, come on, just be real. Like, man, you know why? Because some people have accumulated so much garbage in their hearts that when they are around, they can't help it but share that garbage outside. So that's why you feel the energy. You're like, I don't want to be around that person. I don't want to be. I mean, it's not because they are necessarily bad. It's because they have accumulated so much garbage, they release it out. By the same token, there are people that you're like, oh, I can't wait to see that person. I can't wait to be around that person because every time I'm around him, I'm around her, I feel good. There's something that comes out of him, of her. There's a word. There's hope. If I'm depressed, he lifts me up. Come on. There are people that may be in your life when you tell them about a problem, they make you feel worse. Have you seen that? You know, oh, you know, brother, I got some pain in here. Oh, no, it may be cancer. You know, let me tell you something. Or, you know, how many have seen people like that? You know, oh, I got a problem. You're looking for a word of hope. You're like, oh, you know, it may be cancer. It may be like whatever. You're like, come on. Oh, I'm going through a problem. This. Oh, no, you may die tomorrow. You never know. I mean, whatever. There are people that they will not lift you up. They'll pull you down. And Christianity is supposed to be something where people come, they may even feel convicted, but at the end of the day, they'll feel transformed, they'll feel wonderful, they'll feel powerful because that's what God does. When you meet God, when you meet Jesus, He will convict you, He will deal with you, but He'll lift you up out of the position of being down on the ground, He'll transform you, He will heal you, He'll cleanse you, He'll forgive you, He'll lift you up to a position of righteousness. Come on, somebody. That's what Jesus does. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Hallelujah. That's what happens in the presence of Jesus. You can't be in the presence of Jesus and come out depressed. That never happened to me, you know. I'm in the presence of the Lord, a powerful meeting. Oh, the glory of God, wonderful presence of Jesus. And I'm like, I'm leaving like, oh, I'm so depressed right now. Never. Because in His presence, there's fullness of joy. The fruit in your life will speak volumes. You can say, I'm a Christian. Yeah, that's great. I believe in God. That's great. But people will see in your life if you truly believe God. Not only through your words, but they'll see through your walk, your talk, your conversation. They'll see the fruit of your life. Hallelujah. I've shared about the Muslim man here before. When I was in Switzerland, he told me something. I prayed for him in the middle of the street, had a problem with his feet, and he got healed. And I told him about Jesus, and his name was Muhammad. And I said, Lord Jesus, touch Muhammad right now in Jesus' name. Lord, touch Muhammad right now. It was really funny. Touch Muhammad. And he got healed. And he said something, you know, he knew my name. He's like, Hermes, some people have told me about Jesus before. But there's something that when you even speak his name, when you prayed for me, I felt something was coming out of you. I felt this, I mean, the way that he describes it, I felt an energy was coming out of you, which you didn't know was the power of God. I felt something good was coming out of you, something real, something tangible. And that marked me because, you know, that guy was a Muslim. He had never been to a church before. He had never been to a meeting before. And he said what he experienced. He got healed, but not only that, he felt that something good was coming out. My friend, let me tell you, what is coming out of you that people are feeling? What is it that is coming out of you? Do people in your workplace, do they get happy that they're working with you? They're like, oh, here comes again. Here comes that lady again. Here comes that guy again. Come on, somebody. Can't stand him or can't stand her. And I know there are some believers who are persecuted. That's a different story. But I'm saying in general, do people feel God in your life? Because my friend, let me tell you, the presence of God will transform an individual. The presence of the Lord will transform a nation. The presence of the Lord will transform a city. The presence of the Lord will transform a family. The presence of the Lord will get the person who's about to commit suicide, and that person will be free in Jesus' name. I remember a lady in Rio de Janeiro, where are you from? I was in Rio in the Baixada Fluminense. Exactly. I was there, and there were 400 people, and I pointed to that lady and said, come here, ma'am, and she came, and I said, you've been so depressed for many years, and you're even contemplating killing yourself, and today the Lord is setting you free, and as a matter of fact, the Lord says that you not only will be free, but you have a child as well. You're going to be pregnant, you're going to conceive a child, and you're going to have a baby. So she started crying. She was on medication and all that. About 3 years later, she messaged me on Facebook and said, Pastor, I was the lady that was in the meeting that you called me out. And you said, I was about to kill myself. And as a matter of fact, I was planning to kill myself on that night. And I went to the meeting as a last opportunity that God could speak to me. I said, you know, I need to go to church. Let's see if God has something for me. Let's see if God's going to speak to me. I'm going to give him one more chance to speak to me. So as she was there, I'm like, yo, that lady, out of 400 people, like, that lady, come here right now. And I spoke the word of God. She knew it was God. She started crying. She got completely delivered. And then not only that, she sent a picture of the baby. She conceived, said, I am a happy mom now, living for God. And what you prophesied over me came to pass. And at that moment, I was very happy because, you know, I get really happy about that. Because, like, you know what? I'm giving my life over this wonderful calling. It's a privilege. But let me tell you something. I mean, I could be doing something different. I could be, you know, in a business. I could be doing whatever. But God called me to do this. So when I see the fruit, that's what I'm talking about. The fruit. What is the fruit? The fruit is not a building. The fruit is not a stage. The fruit is not a TV screen. The fruit is not a camera. The fruit is not a TV show. The fruit are lives transformed by God. When you preach the gospel, there's got to be transformation. If there's no transformation, that's an entertainment. If these meetings here are not, you know, doing something in your heart and stirring something inside of you, we're just entertaining you. But I know it's not happening. I know God's word is coming forth. I know God's power, God's spirit is moving. Fruit must be present. Say, fruit must be present. And let me tell you what happens with some Christians. There's a battle. If you want to do what is right and then you don't have the strength, let me tell you something. There are three voices speaking. Only three. The voice of God, the voice of the devil, and the voice of the flesh, which means you and other people. And whatever voice you choose to listen will determine the course of your life. Say three voices. Which are there? God, the devil, and the flesh. The flesh means my flesh And the flesh also means other people. Whatever I choose to listen will determine my results. Well, Pastor, I didn't know it was like that. It is like that. Look at Eve in the Bible. The moment she listened to God, she was fine. When she listened to the serpent, what happened? She got the serpent's results. When you listen to the devil, you have his results. What are his results? Defeat, depression, death, pain, misery, destruction, theft, and you name it. Curses. These are the results of the devil. When I listen to him, if I listen to him, that's what was coming. The Bible says the thief does not come only except to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said. But I have come to give a little bit of life on Sunday morning. Is that what he said? Come on, somebody. I have come to give you life. Say life. And life in abundance. That means there's an abundance of life that is at our disposal, that is ready to be poured out upon us if we believe. But whatever, whoever we listen to, that's what we get. If you listen to the serpent, you're going to get this. I mean, why do you think so many people are so confused and so depressed and so downcast? You know, you see some of the celebrities, they have a lot of money, they have a lot of everything. And some of them live miserable lives. Miserable. You know, if money was all the answer they needed, they would have it. Because they got it. But they live in depression. They live anxious. They live confused. Why? Because something is missing. I want you to read about the battle that is happening between the flesh and the spirit. Galatians chapter 5 from verse 15 on. Let's read together, because I want to show you what the problem is for some people. And what may be even your problem. And I want to pray for you. Listen, I want to pray for everyone that wants a strength in your spiritual walk today. That you don't want to be stuck in your spiritual life, you know. You can be stuck. You can go through the motions. You know, oh, here comes, you know, let's sing two songs and three songs and lift my hands. And you go through the motions, but there's no heart connection. That's what the problem is. And then when there's no connection, I'm not going to pull it again. But when there's no connection, the light goes off. Let's read together, Galatians chapter 5.
Yeah. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you before, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
Amen. The Apostle Paul made a contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And he mentions the work of the flesh are, and he mentions that very clearly and plainly. Adultery, fornication, outbursts of wrath. You know, so many times people focus on one thing. Especially sexual sins. You know, people, oh, you know, so-and-so fell into that. And you already imagine, oh, what was the lady? Or even nowadays, like, what was the man or whatever, anyway. But people forget that in that list, it's not just sexual sins. It says outburst of wrath. Ugh, I'm going to break the walls and break the drywall. You know, I had a friend that he had a fiance, and then they were arguing back and forth on the phone, and then he was a roommate with another friend of mine, and then I went to their house, and there was a big hole in the drywall, and I'm like, hey, what happened? He's like, hey, man, our friend was so mad. He was talking to his fiance. He got so mad. He got the argument. He threw the phone on the ground, and he kicked the drywall. And then the drywall, there's a big hole there. What is the outburst of wrath? I mean, that explosion of anger, the explosion of wrath. The Bible says that's a work of the flesh. It's not good. That doesn't make you more of a man. Amen. It's an outburst of wrath. So many people focus on fornication, adultery. But outburst of wrath is listed on that same list. Same list. Outburst of wrath. It's right there. Now, I'm not saying that if you did that, I mean, there's a solution. You pray, you repent before God, and then God will work inside of you. And God will change you. Amen. What else is there? Idolatry, heresies, dissensions. Can you read that list again?
Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred.
Hatred. Hatred. I mean, is that a work of the spirit? No, it's a work of the flesh. What else?
Contentions, jealousies.
Contentions. That means like you're striving, strife all the time. That's a work of the flesh. Listen, it's a work of the flesh. It's not listed as a good thing. It's terrible. Strife. How many have been around people like that? It's like trying to pick a fight. Like you wake up, like, oh, I'm at peace right now. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to fight with anybody. Just like relax, be cool. But you're like, but strife, work of the flesh. What else?
Outbursts of wrath.
Here we go. Again, outbursts of wrath.
What? Selfish ambition.
Oh, here we go. Selfish ambition.
Dissensions.
Dissension. That's again. What else?
Heresies.
Heresies.
Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries.
Envy. What is envy? Or jealousy. When you look at somebody, when you cannot stand to see other people blessed, there's something wrong with you. It's not the other person. Like someone got a, let's say, a financial blessing, you know, or spiritual blessing or whatever. You go, amen, praise God, that's awesome, come on. I'm happy for you. You know? I remember, you know, especially, you know, being single, they're like when you have a group of single friends and one of them gets married, you know, usually sometimes it happens, it's like, oh, you know, got married. I mean, you should rejoice over that. It's like, when is it my turn? And when is that? I remember my brother got a new car, not this one, but got a new car back in the day. And then he came and was like, oh, I got a new car. And then there was one lady that said, like, she got so angry. She's like, what about me? When is it going to be my turn? And I'm like, what in the world is that? That's jealousy. That's envy. That's work of the flesh. So the Bible says there's a list of works of the flesh. And then there's a list of the fruit of the spirit. Oh, they're work of the flesh and or no?
And the like. That means there's lots of others.
And the like. So there's lots of other things that could be on the list of the work of the flesh. And then what else?
But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy.
Say love, joy,
peace.
Peace.
Long-suffering.
Long-suffering.
Kindness.
Kindness. Some people need that. Praise God.
Goodness.
Goodness. Come on.
Faithfulness.
Amen. Some preachers need goodness. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've met some mean preachers. I'm telling you, man. I mean, you need to read the Bible. You need to read kindness and goodness are good things, amen, to have. Amen. Praise God. Being rude does not make you more anointed. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
Faithfulness. Gentleness.
Gentleness! How many gentlemen are here? Someone gentle. Amen. Praise God.
And self-control.
Self-control. But here's the cool thing. Some people say self-control. So that means like people are not supposed to cry in church. They're not supposed to fall on the ground in church because, you know, self-control. But the self-control here is talking about the works of the flesh. Does it make sense? So if you read the whole scripture in context, what it's talking about is like, if you've got self-control, that means I have self-control against anger, against, you know, sexual immorality, against all the, I got self-control. That's what it's referring to in the context of the scripture. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. There's a fruit. Say, there's a fruit. And there's a battle. I'm almost done. I promise you, we'll pray for you. But there's a battle between your flesh and your spirit. Your flesh, listen to me right now. Your flesh wants comfort. Some of you, like your flesh, did not want to be in church right now. Maybe like, I want to be like laying down, watching some Netflix or something. Or eating some popcorn, whatever. But then your spirit will be starving. And you have to make a decision. You have to understand what is important to my spirit. Because so many times, let me tell you something. You think, you know, because, you know, I'm a pastor or whatever. You think that, you know, you wake up and you want to pray every morning. Like your heart is like, oh, I just want to pray. Sometimes your flesh like, no, that's not what I'm doing right now. But you're going to do it anyway. You put your flesh into subjection because you understand what is important to your spirit. Sometimes you don't feel like coming to church. Oh, it's raining. It's a little bit of rain. Or it's snowing. A little bit of snow. Oh, it's cold. Oh, you know. I'm telling you, if you wait for perfect conditions to come, you'll never come. Because your flesh wants comfort. Amen. But when you understand, okay, it's important to my spirit. I gotta come. I have to come. Because you make a commitment to what is important to your spiritual life. Because your spiritual life will read all the rest of the areas of your life. So many people are so full of problems. But you know what the main problem is? They're disconnected to God. If they connect to God, all the things will be good. Your relationship will be good. When you're doing good with God, you'll be good with men. I mean, your heart, does it make sense? When you're in peace with God, this here will be easy. Or